Bani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University Africana Studies Department. And hopefully my co-host will chime in, Brother Joe, historian Joe Hembrick. We have a very important guest and a very important topic today, one that is about the future of currency and the future of the consciousness of Black people in economics, especially in stock market and investments. My son will be the guest presenter this evening. He's a principal at Pathway High School, one of the most progressive high schools in the LA Unified School District. He's one of, and I'm just as proud of him as for giving me a new grandbaby called Amen Prince Ra, and his daughter Journey and his wife Danielle. And he just consistently amazes me of his accomplishments and achievement. He once spoke to me about Bitcoin, spoke to me about cryptocurrency. I told him I didn't want no money in a crypt. I wanted some money, the old money with the dead presidents. I don't know. But he's going to explain that and discuss why he thinks that public schools should require or either teach about economics from the standpoint of investment stocks. You know that they do it in prison. Prisoners invest in stocks. Mr. Robert Smith, who just, a couple years ago, a year ago, gave, paid off everybody's debt. That he was a guest speaker, I think, at Spelman, if I'm not mistaken. And he retired all the students that graduated debt. And now he gave some money to this academy, a private school in New York, for all the students to have stock. He bought them stock. I'm not sure. Maybe Amon can go into it. But that seems to be where people are headed. I know a couple of friends that are into investing in stock. So I'm going to let Amon Mandela-Ra speak on it and discuss it and entertain questions from our viewers, Mashinda and the good doctor as of right now, and Rashiki. So go ahead, Amon.
All right. First and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing me to be a returning guest on this wonderful show. I really appreciate it. Before we talked about, you know, just how we could revolutionize school cultures, and now to be with Rego and yourself, Pops, to talk about cryptocurrency and financial literacy, that's something that's really important to me. So I want to thank everybody for allowing me to be in this space to talk about this, because I truly believe that financial literacy and cryptocurrency can truly change the educational landscape. So a little bit about myself, I've always been into the capital markets of investing in stocks, real estate, and using my money to ultimately make money. I believe many schools, or the school system as a whole, do not teach our young people fully about financial literacy and true ownership. So as a principal, as a founding principal, I still taught a class, taught a class called Gentlemen to Kings, in which I taught students around the capital markets, how they could, you know, understand money and how money is used in this country. So when the pandemic hit, I was introduced to cryptocurrency more. I started learning about Bitcoin, started to learn about alternative coins and different projects. And ultimately, it landed me with investing and, yes, making good money. But then I started to see the tool, the financial tool cryptocurrency was. And I had an idea to reward students for the metrics being met in school with cryptocurrency. And it landed me opening and launching a startup company called K-12 Crypto, in which will be a platform in which we reward students based off of metrics that they meet with cryptocurrency in a secure wallet. And this wallet will act as a trust. It's a time lock wallet. So these kids will be able to earn cryptocurrency upon graduation, in which they will have access to the currency to swap it for the US dollar, use it for college, or use it for business. So right now, across the country, I've been traveling to schools now, specifically in New York, Las Vegas, Orlando, bridging the creator economy of cryptocurrency to schools. And we have some great meetings ahead to talk about financial literacy. So one of the biggest things that's in our platform, Pop, is really cash, right? I remember having the conversation with you about cash and cryptocurrency. He's like, yo, give me the dead presidents. I want cash. And in this country, right, cash, spending cash is literally more expensive than you running your credit. It's literally, that's how the system is designed. I'll give you an example. We all go to Walmart, we go to a grocery store, we go to Target, you get your items, and the cash register says, all right, this come up to $100. Then they say plus tax, right? Then it's $170.25. Which is cool. You paid $107 with your debit card or cash. Cool, you got tax for that. But in the financial world and how this system has worked, if you swiped your credit card, you will get, most credit cards now have a reward system, cash back, points, a reward system that incentivizes you to play in their game. So right then and there, there's credit cards that give you 2%, 5% cash back, zero APR, which essentially says to you, if you, that same $107 is actually $99 or $98 because of your rewards that you use in a system that is designed for you to use it. So little things like that helps you understand compound interest, right? Because $7, $7, $7 adds up. And that's the game that we haven't been playing, and we have been disconnected from so long, and how to use our literacy when it comes to finance and the capital markets in this country to gain more wealth. And cryptocurrency is now the biggest transfer, the biggest wealth transfer that's happening in this country. It's happening right now when it comes to more and more people distrusting the government, distrusting the systems, and moving to a system that is more free and independent, which is cryptocurrency.
Could you define cryptocurrency? What does that mean? Where did the name come from and what's happening with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So cryptocurrency, in essence, is digital money, right? Digital monetization of money. Bitcoin is the white paper or the business plan of Bitcoin is a digital asset, which will give you seamless transactions no matter how big or how small. And it's done instantly, right? So if you, for example, I don't know if you ever had $100,000 in the bank or $10,000 in the bank, and you try to send $10,000, you're going to get all kind of alerts and all kind of stuff to stop your money from transacting a large portion of your money through our financial institution. Well, Bitcoin was created for it to be a universal way of sending money seamless through what's called the blockchain. So cryptocurrency is essentially a transaction. It's a swap of your currency. So a lot of people think like, hey, I'm investing in Bitcoin, where many times it's like, yes, it's an investment tool, but actually you're swapping it for another currency. So it's similar to, you know, if we go to Dave and Buster's, the restaurant Dave and Buster's, or if we go to Chuck E. Cheese, Chuck E. Cheese don't accept your hard dollars. Dad, I know you love the dead price, but if you go to Chuck E. Cheese World, they're not using U.S. dollar. You're exchanging your U.S. dollar for the tickets or the little Chuck E. Cheese coins. I don't know if y'all remember the little Chuck E. Cheese coins, and that's what you use to play the game. Well, in essence, that's what's happening with cryptocurrency. You're exchanging what's called fiat, which is the hard cash dollar, and you're exchanging it for Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency to be used in more the utility in the world. So Bitcoin is now starting to be accepted in all kinds of places. Like El Salvador is a whole entire country that adopted Bitcoin. So if you were in El Salvador, you can use Bitcoin like the US dollar. So it's a swap. You're swapping it, and it's now you're utilizing it as a different currency.
What is the benefit?
So the benefit is you're using on a blockchain, so it's more transparent. So for example, if I use my money with Bitcoin, right? I'm securing my money, and it's on one of the most secure platforms, which is the blockchain, which authenticates me as a holder, and you are able to see every transaction. So for example, the reason why people go to cryptocurrency is because the lack of trust in government entities. For example, local municipal council members, right? Where's the money going, right? You're seeing all these receipts, but when it comes to blockchain, right, you're able to see every single transaction where everything went. So there's no way of saying, oh, I didn't have that, because you won't have the name to the wallet, but you can see the wallets in regards of what is happening all the time. It's a full transparency. So it's not like, hey, I'm hiding my bank statements. No, it's fully transparent for the world to see. So more people are going into cryptocurrency, and rather saying that the people that distrust the government say, we want to use this currency because we're fed up with some of the distrust that has happened with all the big crashes, like the panic of 1907 with Lehman Brothers and JP Morgan Chase. And then you got the crash of 2008, and you got the crash, and then you got the pandemic. All these big banks and all these big financial institutions and the government and the Fed has shown different ways in which they felt, the people felt like they weren't for them. There was a lot of people during the pandemic said, like, wait, something's wrong here. Why aren't we getting, and where is this money going? There's all this money is going and shifting around, and people are getting it. Kanye West is getting money. All these people are getting payouts, right? But on a blockchain, if you're in crypto, it's all transparent. It is community governance, right? Because we are all holders, and we're all able to see who has, not exactly who, but where what goes and what transpired in it. So more people see the benefit of having it as it being a more transparent currency where people cannot be lied to about what's going on.
I just have a couple more questions.
Yeah.
What is the whole concept of when you say digital money? How does it fit in with regards to your everyday purchases of things?
Right.
And especially in America.
Right. So right now, for example, more people are using things like GPay, Google Pay, Apple Pay, Cash App, Venmo, all kind of digital ways of spending your cash. For example, you get your money in a bank account. More and more people don't even carry cash right now, but they will use Cash App, right? Or they will use GPay, and like my credit card right here is on my phone. Like I can just go to a place, tap it, and it pays for it, right? So what happens is we are already starting to be in a cashless society already. More and more people are choosing not to even carry cash. It's like, why? Why am I carrying cash? I could have it on my phone. I have it. We're in a digital world. So now when you start to realize, if I Zelle you right now $50, what just happened? Did I just give you hard cash? No, like literally, it's just some numbers that went to your account. No real money transacting happened. Just some numbers happened, right? Well, the same thing is, you know how companies are, you go to a business and they say they accept Visa, American Express, MasterCard, and Discover before these credit cards, right? Well, imagine that, right? These are different types of credit cards. Well, imagine that same concept of saying, well, we accept Bitcoin, we accept Ethereum, and we accept Cardano, which are like some of the top cryptocurrencies on the market, right? So now, on my phone, instead of me just using Cash App or a bank or Chase, I'm using my crypto wallet. And the same concept is I can use it because they're accepting it. Because the power is with the people. If we value the trade and the underlying asset, and more people start to demand this asset and say, we want to use this, and we give it value, then that will be the currency that more people use.
Okay, so well, how would you teach this to students? I mean, you say you want to have it in school.
Right.
What about stock investment?
the taco seasoning packets.
Uh-oh. Maybe need to do that. So there's a few things, right? I mean, it's a big, the financial literacy gap or financial literacy as a whole.
Yeah, no, there's the small one.
They want to mute.
The one that looks like a little Rashaki. Glass.
There we go. So the financial literacy in itself is, I mean, it's big, right? You're talking about just understanding the basics to then learning cryptocurrency. Well, first we start with the educators. Like that's one aspect of getting them to kind of understand this. But we are working with some students right now in several schools that's teaching them the low-hanging fruit of cryptocurrency, which is non-fungible tokens in the crypto world, NFTs. So non-fungible tokens or NFTs, we're working with a school specifically right now where we're working with like 20 kids, and they're going to create a digital asset, digital art. So for example, growing up, you know, many people love art. You know, you had the Picasso, you had these different arts, and some of these arts go for a lot of money. Well, we're going to have kids develop an art piece with music, poetry, or whatever they're drawing they want. And they're going to create an art piece, and they're going to put their name on it, do all these different things, and we're going to digitize it and become a digital asset. Believe it or not, kids understand the world of cryptocurrency a lot better than us because many of them play games, and the games that they play have a currency within the game. Roblox have a currency, Fortnite have a currency, and they use the currency within the game, which is pretty much cryptocurrency in essence, to buy different things, right? So in this same concept, we're working with kids just to get them used to doing that. But when it comes to teaching students cryptocurrency in Georgia, they just passed a law in March 2021 to teach kids Bitcoin in 11th and 12th grade. So what's happening? They're learning about blockchain technology right now in schools across America. The biggest problem is it's not being taught to kids that look like us in communities that look like us. So this is a big problem that I see. Because if I remember what I said, the biggest wealth transfer is happening right now. And we understand that poverty also impacts a lot in education. And poverty also impacts a lot of how people are treated, right? Classism is real. So if we don't get into this and build in this space, we'll be fighting the same problems we are fighting now in the new world that's developing. The internet works within 15-year increments. So when the internet was birthed, 1985-ish, whatever, a little bit before, but it went for a 15-year kind of world where AOL was developing and they made all this content for us and they made money off of making content for us and we just watched the content on AOL. Then in the 2000s, that was the birth of social media. 2001, that's when, you know, a lot of our parents were like, what the heck is a MySpace or what is a Facebook or what is that? But now you guys are actively on Facebook. It took a duration of 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years. So from 2005 to 2021, you're talking about 15 years of social media kind of running the world. Well, now there's this new world that's creating, i.e. why Facebook has changed their name to Meta to prepare for what's called the metaverse. So it's been happening for a while. It's been evolving. So now we have to be in it. There's not less than 3% of people in cryptocurrency that are building are African Americans.
All right. Hey, Doc, do you have any questions? Good.
No, I agree with everything you said. Definitely, which you can be, younger age, learning. Something's definitely needed. The investing. You know, I've been an investor for about 30 years. Although I don't do any crypto, you know, but I've done some of the, they just opened up the brand new ETF on crypto about a week, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
But I've done stocks, commodities, currency. Back in the day, man, when it was a big thing, do the currency trading, but I've done, you know, commodities, you know, feeder cattle, live cattle, sugar, lumber, pork bellies, all that crap. My only concern, though, man, is the digital. It's digital. So it's kind of like you just said something, you got to get everybody into it. To me, it's like a pyramid. You got to get everybody wanting this, getting everybody pumped up to get it, because if nobody wants it, it'll fall. You know, it's all a big pyramid, man. You got to get everybody in to make it right. The other thing I don't like about it, this is me personally.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was, with kids, I'd definitely teach them this. It's very important. Like, it's the new way of the world. But me personally, it's digital. That means it's hackable in the future once it gets big.
So can I ask you this? Do you have like a Zelle or a Cash App or anything like that?
I just did the Zelle, I think at the beginning of the year, man. Someone needed some money, and they told me the Zelle thing, and I went on my bank and saw it, and I sent them some money. Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I know what all about crypto. I remember when it first came out, man, because I subscribed to Stock and Commodities Traders Magazine. For years, man, like I said, I've been trading over about 30 years, man, all kind of stuff, man. I got every course that came on TV. I got every scam, and the real of it, man, in this world, in the stock market, man, you don't make money unless you got inside information. You get lucky. I've got lucky, made a lot of money, got lucky, lost a lot of money.
Right.
But, when you get around their world, you learn people, you learn, like I told one guy, the one technique they use called loading the bases. I don't know if you know what loading the bases mean. That's something they do in the stock world. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not saying I'm negative, but it's a good thing to learn. I would really, bring that back, especially in the black schools, teach them all this stuff, man. One thing he said is very important. Very important, man. It's just me personally. I don't do the currency, the crypto, but the NFTs, when that first came out, those EFTs on the NFTs, I made a few bucks on that.
Right.
When it first came out, a couple of those stocks, man. When, matter of fact, they got the sister. I saw the sister that made all that money when she bought the little painting of some guy, man. Then, then it started hitting the internet about these, the NFTs, the paintings. And she made it big. I agree everything you say. Yeah, teach all the kids this, man. They pick it up faster than us.
Right.
Very important. But, like I said, when you get, thing, man, you always had the risk and reward, man. The risk. Yeah. So everything is a risk. Everything is risk. And when you invest, it's all a risk.
Right. So I think it's important, too, one of the ways, and I thank you for what you said too. One of the key things too, as we look into cryptocurrency, is yes, a lot of people are introduced to it as an investment, but in many ways, it shouldn't be looked at it as that, right? And I'll explain why. One of the biggest things is that, we look at it and we hear about all these people made money off of Bitcoin, or all these projects, right, making a lot of money. Yeah, NFTs are different, but when we're going to cryptocurrency, right, this is a currency that many people are going to eventually be using for different things, which is the utility of it. So, for example, imagine something that you like to do. Like my father loves to golf, right? If he likes to golf, he's part of a golfing community, right? And the golf course says, we're no longer accepting the US dollar. We're accepting our golf token, or you got to have this golf card to have access, like the membership card, right? Like there's golf country club membership. You only can use the membership card to get in there. Then the value isn't with the US dollar anymore. The value is with what he cares about in the community that he wants to be in. Right. So in that aspect, him changing the $100 that he was going to use and transacting it for that world, it's not necessarily an investment. He's not looking to make money off of it. He's looking to get the value that he likes to be part of. So it's similar to like what will happen probably within the next 5 years or maybe within 10. Like Disneyland. Disneyland is one of the biggest amusement parks in the world, if not the biggest. Disneyland is you're in the happiest place. You're in their world. So you going to Disneyland and now they're saying you're going with the kids. Now it's like, hey, that $500 that you're probably going to spend getting the ticket, and you have to swap your US dollars to use a cryptocurrency that is specifically tied to Disneyland. That's not necessarily an investment. It's a swap, right? So yes, there's aspects in which people would invest in cryptocurrency, but there's aspects that more and more people are using it as a way of life, of utility, which is the game changer for many of us, right? Because there's a lot of people that's they're not selling their Bitcoin, they're holding it, right? And the reason why is because the world that's being created is now you're able to get loans on your cryptocurrency. Like you can literally now, if you have $100,000 in Bitcoin, you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. There's loan companies that will give you $100,000 in cash and leverage your currency as an asset. So it's just a way of understanding, yes, there's an investment side of it, but there's actually a transactional utility side that many of us are not seeing that the world is developing on. That's really critical. And I hear you too, right? Like in a digital world, there's ways to get hacked. But in the real world, there's ways to get robbed, right? Like there's always this dilemma of, you know, risk reward, which I agree with, right? Like, and that's just fundamentally part of, you know, kind of any economy of there's risk and reward. But I think for the most part, it's the world that is happening. It's going to be more and more as time goes.
Brother Mashinda, are you there?
Good evening.
Yeah. What you got any questions or comments?
Yeah, a little bit. Brother, I've been, man, what a breath of fresh air. teaching, you know, getting that to the youngsters at this point and what's going on. Like, because with or without us, it's going down. I understand pretty much clearly what you've presented so far tonight, and I really appreciate that. You know, like you say, I got hip to the news on Facebook with the metaverse, you know, breaking it down, you know, like a 3D world, you know, you got, you know, it's like the you know, people that game, that play, you know, Grand Theft Auto or any kind of game, you know, just in general, they can actually be a participant in that game. So it's like understanding, like, you know, like they say, the Jetsons, you know, some kind of 21st century technology that's happening rapidly every day, is changing faster than any time before. And it's kind of like, so the breath of fresh air, what I appreciate about you and your school, because last time when you were on, you know, I really appreciated listening, because it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a younger brother that's out there with a next level approach, you know, and I can appreciate that. But when you're talking about the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency, you know, I'm still learning about it, you know, but back in that meta, you know, they were talking about, you know, I was listening to different entities and they were talking about the metaverse where you can actually purchase NFTs in a virtual world using that, you know, they're using that Oculus, right, virtual reality hardware, and, you know, between and putting you in that virtual world, you know, it's, you know, some of us may, you know, not agree with it. And some of us may say, you know what, I don't even want to partake in it, you know, but with or without us, this is going down. And so as far as on the investment side, sure, there's going to be risk, you know, the brothers in Egypt and the brothers in like Nigeria, you know, my understanding that it's banned, you know, they say it's too volatile and things like that from an investment standpoint. So yeah, you know, as anybody else, if you're going to invest in something, there's always a risk factor in investing, but the paradigm shift, the reality of it is that this is kind of like what's going down. This is what's happening. So it's like, hey, if you want to be around it, you know, in 2025, you know, competing and trying to be successful, you definitely got to understand this, because the monetary exchange is changing. So anyway, right. I just wanted to input my little thoughts, but I appreciate you, man. I'm still learning, and Have a good evening.
No, thank you for sharing that. It goes, you know, it's similar what you were just saying. Like, I remember when Facebook was around and I was telling my dad, I was like, man, you need to get Facebook. Oh, I ain't get no dang book face. I ain't about to get no Facebook. Now he's on there posting all the time, right? Oh, this is Instagram. I ain't going to get no Instagram, right? So what I mean by that is that think about the evolutionary process, right, in regards of technology. And what may seem foreign to us today could very well be the norm 5 years from now. There was never in a million years, right, that people would say, all right, I'm going to trust somebody to go and get my food and deliver it to my house without me being in the car with them. Now, Uber Eats is one of the biggest things that's happening, right? Besides a taxi, there wouldn't be a time where you would go be okay with a stranger coming to pick you up and take you to the airport that wasn't a taxi. Now Uber is a norm, right? So these worlds that evolve, you know, rather it be the metaverse, rather it be, because at right foreign, you'd think like, I wouldn't want to be part of none of that. But think about what we're doing right now. Essentially, we are, I mean, not at the highest level, but we're in our own metaverse. We're in our own world right here in this Zoom call, right? Now, taking it up a notch is you now have the Oculus where we could actually be connected with each other, right? Like we can actually feel like it's like we're in the same room at a conference room at a hotel in Dubai, right? Like let's take this a world and like really be there. So you could see it may seem foreign to us right now in 2021, but very well in 2028, it could be something that you like really are like, okay, what is this, right? So thank you for sharing that.
Brother Russell Key, you there?
Yes, sir.
You have any comments?
Oh, excellent information. This is wonderful. You know, the revolutionizing the education and I could see the baton being passed around well here. You know what I mean? I enjoy all of this excellent information. It's something that we should have. So keep up the excellent work, brother Amin.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I have a few questions. I always was taught that money is just a medium of exchange. A medium of exchange just in between you and what you want. You give somebody money, they give you what you want. So it's a medium of exchange. How does that differ from Bitcoin or crypto money being a medium of exchange?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that money was then used to keep the marginalized communities down, right? It was used as a tool to keep the class system in order. Like, for example, the way the government refund worked during the COVID relief fund, right? They gave what a $1,200 check to those who most need it, and millions and billions went to the elites, right? So you start to see like there's a disconnect between how I could actually build wealth through just a simple monetary like transactional tool, right? Because now you're playing in an unfair game, right? And then when you think about the taxes, right, there's something that's called the cash tax. The cash tax is what I just explained to you, right? In our state, we get hit with a tax, a heavy tax. And think about this. The lower the class, unfortunately, city or municipal that you're at, the more cash that's being used, more hard on cash is used because of the way the system is built, right? You have immigrant families, you have low income families that's willing to take cash under the table for employment. So they have to pay all those taxes. The more affluent areas, the less cash you see. You see more plastic because when credit cards was created, that's the way they generate wealth, right? They use that for cash back. They use that for rewards. They use that in regards of living a lifestyle and providing more credit. Let's credit, and your credit score is the way you can generate wealth. So we've been just like had this informational and systemic, and you had those systemic barriers in it. Yes, cash is a transactional tool, but before cash, we were trading just asset on asset, right? It was just a barter. So I think it's important for us to realize, like, what do we value, but how do we also increase our value with what we know as creators and explorers in this country? So that's kind of like where cryptocurrency comes in at.
Okay. I got another question. A dollar is not really a dollar anymore.
Right.
You know, you're lucky if you get 20 cents out of a dollar today, you know, right, in comparison to 10 years ago. Well, I got really two questions. How does crypto money deal with the inflation from the standpoint of its worth? In other words, we know that the dollar is not worth a dollar. You know, they'll tell you, they say you work 6 months before you, and all your first 6 months of employment is all taxes.
Right.
And then at the same time, when you go to the store or go to the gas station, I went to the gas station today, and I had about a third of a tank, but I put $50 in order to fill my car up. You see what I'm saying? Whereas the gap, it was $4.19 a gallon. My point is that do crypto money or Bitcoin them deal with inflation with regards to how much they're worth? In other words, like if you have a crypto money that's $100, is it all $100 or is it affected by the inflation where it's only worth $80 or $50 or $20?
Yeah. So I think that's the beauty of like where crypto is at. And I think the low hanging fruit, what will happen is, and again, this is the evolution, right? But my prediction in regards of how it will happen is what's happening subtly right now. So what happens when you invest in crypto, you want to get a crypto wallet. Right. So you invest in one of the biggest crypto wallets or exchanges is Coinbase. So you get on Coinbase, and similar to like Robinhood or TD Ameritrade, you put your money in Coinbase, your US dollars, and then you're able to swap the US dollar for cryptocurrency. Right. So like, for example, I have Bitcoin and some cryptocurrencies in my Coinbase. However, let's just say I had $1,000 in my Coinbase account. I have $1,000, but it's in the form of cryptocurrency. So what they're allowing now is for you to get a debit card that transact to your US dollar. So for example, if you had $100 of Bitcoin, you are able to get a Coinbase wallet, which is our credit or debit card from Coinbase, and you're able to swipe at Starbucks your Coinbase card, and it converts your Bitcoin to whatever the US dollar is or whatever that value is. If it costs $5, it will swipe your Bitcoin and it will automatically transact it to the US dollar. That's a big game changer for a lot of aspects, because that means that your Bitcoin, you don't have to sell it. It just automatically converts. So that's one way. As for other things, I mean, I don't have all the answers to that because, it's still like something that's, I mean, we're still very early on with where this is going. So I couldn't give you the full answer on that.
Right. Well, talk about your investments and you said you were starting a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, your coin.
So I have my company, I have two things. So my company, Revolutionary Education. We're a consulting firm. So I help schools across the nation, and my team and I, we help schools across the nation revolutionize their school cultures by providing restorative practices, training, trauma-informed practice trainings, and working with the leadership team with strategic planning. We also, in addition to working and consulting with schools, I do workshops, keynotes across the nation, but we also host what's called the Revolutionary Educator Conference, which is activating liberation pedagogy. Last year was our first year. We hosted it virtually. We had 400 plus educators from across the nation, from New York to Chicago to Florida, attend virtually. This year, we are having our first in-person Revolutionary Educator Conference, happening April 29th through May 1st. And with my role in cryptocurrency, I partnered with a company to release our own cryptocurrency called the Revolutionary Educator Coin. Now, this coin is an economy for our educators that believe in our mission as a business. So people invest or people use our coin. For example, we have over 280 people that are holders of our coin. They use our coin to learn more about cryptocurrency. So what happens is, just by you being a holder of our coin, you get into a private chat and you get taught what cryptocurrency is, what investment things that you can do, and just learn more about it, right? Because we want to teach educators more about cryptocurrency. Two is, they use the coin to purchase things like shirts. Like this shirt right here is one of our shirts called Be Courageous, Be Bold, and Be Revolutionary. They use the coin to get into our conference. They use the coin to purchase our books and resources. So we are creating an economy around using our cryptocurrency so people can see, oh, this is not just an investment. This is a way that we all can build wealth with each other, and support each other, which is truly cooperative economics. So that's the first project, and it's called the Rev Ed Coin, which can be purchased and invested and used by going to rally.io. That's the company I partner with, and they're available on Coinbase. The second project is the ed tech company, which is called K-12 Crypto, and it's the first learning management system that will reward students with the form of cryptocurrency based off of metrics that they meet. So imagine a kid in high school that earns credits, because we all earn things in high school. You know, that, I don't think that system has ever changed, right? I think that was kind of like a system that's been around for the ages, right? You go to high school, you earn credits, you need this amount of credits to graduate high school. Well, imagine a kid not just earning credits, but they also earn money, right? Which is a form of cryptocurrency. Like, I remember growing up, my father would say, hey, for every A you get, you got this much. For every B you get this much. And every C you get that much, right? Like, and it incentivized me to want to get A's. Well, imagine that, but our platform rewards students and then educates families and rewards families to be more active in students' lives. So that's where we are launching fall of 2022.
Okay, now, what about stock investments? What's the difference between that and crypto?
Yeah, so again, crypto is a currency, right? So crypto is a currency, and you have what I think Doctor was talking about with, you have commodity and securities, right? So when you are thinking about buying shares of a company, like the shares, that's what you're buying. You're just buying the share. The shares can't be used for anything else but to hold. Right. So if I go and want to buy Apple shares or Disney shares, right, I'm buying the shares and I'm holding with hope that more people buy into this to make the value of these shares go up. So then I can sell them to somebody else who wants to buy them, or you can hold them or whatever, if you want to hold them for a dividend. Right. So you are just buying something and holding. There's no other utility for shares. Where cryptocurrency, it's an actual currency, right? So like, there are some things that, there are some projects out there that don't mean nothing. Like they're complete crap. Like they don't want to buy them, right? But in the essence of Bitcoin, like it is, the purpose is for you to actually use it, not just hold it. Yes, you can hold it, but you can actually use it. So it's both and versus like shares is just like, that's what you do, right? So they're both, empower you or increase your value, your net worth. But one also provides you a utility where the other one doesn't.
Okay. Now, what you know, I remember and I was teaching the economics of the Black community. I had a guest speaker, Nasruddin Muhammad, and he passed on. He was over recycling Black dollars,
mm-hmm.
and he said that the whole concept of generating wealth and money has changed because up until the 80s, most people who got rich with oil, automobiles, something physical. But Gates got rich with a chip. A chip.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Microsoft, Facebook, all of them are just like, they're not something that you get. It's just information, selling information and advertising, right. Selling information. And that threw the economy into a loop because most people, you know, the Ford, the GM and stocks and all that, you know, something solid. How do you reconcile? And that's what throws me off about crypto money is currency. Is how do you know you got something? You know what I mean?
So for example, when you go into buying shares, right? And it's always a good conversation too, where, you know, in many aspects, anytime you're investing, it's the same concept, right? I heard the brother talk about the pyramid, right? In stocks, it's the same thing. You need more, it's supply and demand. You need more people to buy whatever you buy so you can make money off of it, period, right? If you go in tomorrow, once the stock market opens and you buy Apple, you hoping and praying that more people buy Apple so Apple can go up. The more people buy Apple, the more that asset increases in value. But another thing, what you said, if you go buy that share, if you go buy 10 shares of Apple tomorrow, how you know you got it? They ain't mailing you shares. All it is there's a plus 10 in your little app that says you got 10 shares. That's all it says, right? We live in a digital world. Look what we're doing right now. We're all in our house on our computers interacting through a web-based app called Zoom. Over 60% of people in America, especially youth, the first thing that they do is look at their phone in the morning. Most of you aren't still interacting on your phone. You're paying your bills on your phone. There was once a point in time where you all had to go to the bank or to the place to go pay your bills. Now I bet you many of you pay your bills through your digital device, through app, through technology. Technological advances have impacted every industry. It's now taking the next level in every industry. As you go to restaurants, you start to see less people and more devices take your order. When you go to more spaces, you see more technology taking over. Well, in a currency industry, it's going to do the same. First, it happens through revolution. First, we owe all cash. Then we got the debit card. Then we got the credit card. Now you're using your phone. Now it's going to actually hit the currency market. So when it comes to crypto, once we realize the core principle, the Nguzo Saba of cooperative economics, this is the reality that can possibly happen. Let's just follow me on a fantasy journey, right? Let's say, for example, today we were all great developers. And we said, you know what? We're going to build a community and we have information. We know Professor Raw knows great details around Black studies. I know great details around economics. And we all had some value to build and build a community with each other. We develop a currency called the Nguzo coin. And every member of the Nguzo coin will be able to have exclusive access to this show that we do weekly and have community, and we provide them with rewards. And we say through the money that comes in, every year we're going to go to Africa. and we're going to take our members to Africa. That will incentivize people to join our community. And then we say, hey, you know, somebody dropped the book in our community. The community, only you only can buy it with the Nguzo coin. We have now literally built a $100,000, $200,000 company, not company, but community, an economy, in which is truly cooperative economics. Everybody has a coin. As more people come in and join our community, the value of the coin goes up, right? So now we are able to do more for our community and add more value to our community. It's the same thing that most people do with a membership company. The only difference is the company wins and not the members of the community. The members of the community only get the what's offered. They don't get a chance to gain wealth. So cryptocurrency can provide you with both the value in what you give and a value in the increase of the currency in which you hold.
Okay. Brother Doctor, you have any other questions or comments?
No, I just, like I said, I agree with everything he's saying. And this is the new wave. Like I said, technology is out there. It's just like, I know about the Raiders game. You know, the Raiders game is all cashless. It's no cash accepted at the Raiders game for anything. You have to go to a little vending machine. If you got cash, you got to go to the vending machine, put your money in there, and you get like a credit card out. Go buy stuff. You can't go walk up to the little, you know, you go buy food. Yeah. You can't go buy food with cash there anymore. You got to have the little card, or like you said, all those little gadgets. They got the little vending machine, you get your credit card in. See? But go back to when I asked Senior Ron, you know, one of the questions you asked, a value, just like you said, it's what you value. You know, when the pandemic hit, the 99 cent, what's the stuff you're putting on your hands? What is that? The sanitizer.
Yeah.
That 99 cent sanitizer bottle was worth $50.
Right, right.
Toilet paper, you know, was worth, you know, 10 times as amount. You know, right. In prison, a pack of cigarettes is worth $1,000.
Right.
You know, it's what you put on the value. And they have to, if this Bitcoin is going to jump up, it has, you know, you got to put the value on, you got to get everybody into it. Like you said, one little slide note, go to stocks. It's old school, but you can request your stock certificates. No one does it. Yeah. I have some old stock certificates. When I was trading 30 years ago, I asked for my stock certificates, my shares. I got papers here, certificates. You can't get your shares and certificates. That's just a little side note, but you're right, man. I'm glad you're there teaching these kids this, man. I wish you can start it around the fourth, fifth grade.
Right.
Because you said already doing it with the little games.
Right.
Because when this hits full time, man, us older people, we're going to be so behind.
Right.
It's good the kids would be there, man. And I agree, eat everything. I think it's going to go way beyond that. I think it's just going to go to a point where you're just using your fingerprint or your eye retina scan, you know, to pay for everything. That's going to be way, way out there, man. It's, you know, only other thing I have it with the crypto, just like you said, everybody and their mama can go out and create a coin, man.
Right.
You know, that's wild. And I don't know if I know, you know, that the brother, I know he was an athlete. They came out with some coins early on and it was a big scam. Brother ripped off a bunch of people.
Right.
I have a close coworker who just got hacked with his Coinbase stuff, man. Like you said, with his little card, someone got a hold of his number and bought all this Bitcoin, all this Dogecoin or whatever this stuff is off of his stuff, man. And lost a lot of money, but luckily the bank gave his money back. He got hacked on that stuff, and he said he was done with crypto. I to get hacked at once. And I just told him, yeah, you know what, man, don't give up, you know. Like you just said, you're going to get hit. People are going to get hit. And I know right now, I know the United States is doing something because it's one of the number one terrorist thing, you know, whole ransom. They want Bitcoin now. I know a few months ago, probably about a year ago, they were able to track the little last ransom demand where they had to pay all this Bitcoin. They were able to track the Bitcoin to where it was got to their wallet and took it out. So now they can take your money back out of your wallet. You know that now, right? They can track it.
Yeah, no, there's for sure hackers.
Yeah, so they
and then just somewhere like the casino, like you know, I've heard people lose money at the casino, right? They lose, man, I lost $10,000 on a blackjack table or on a roulette table. You know,
let me ask you this question.
We're still going gamble, right?
There's a limit number of bitcoins, right?
Yeah, so Bitcoin will there's a fixed rate of Bitcoin. I believe it's 21.
Now let me ask you this. Do you ever see in the future, let's take like pro athletes, anyone ever negotiate a contract for just full Bitcoin?
Yeah, they already have. The New York, there's several players that's getting paid in Bitcoin now.
I saw one company where I just saw a company where they classed partial employees in Bitcoin.
Right.
My thing is, you could not pay. If there's a limited number,
yeah,
you can pay everybody, right, and all across the board sports, right, because a limited number, or how would that work?
No, yeah. So Bitcoin, what most people like. If you look at the Bitcoin, so Bitcoin is, and it's going deeper, but Bitcoin is broken down. For each Bitcoin, there's something that's called Satoshi that makes up each Bitcoin. So Satoshi is what's used mainly within Bitcoin to be used as a transactional tools, like the dollar, I would say. It would be the same. Like there's still a fixed number of circulating dollars that's around too.
Now, are there still people out there mining Bitcoins?
Yep.
They still out there mining?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Still out there mining. Okay. But I think going back to what you said, I think that was a good note, right? Like a lot of people can create coins. But the thing about it that is really that's really the same is a lot of people create businesses. You know how many faulty businesses is around too?
Right.
Like, some of the things that we think about that, it's happening. It happens in every industry. Like there are people that create fake businesses all the time and fake pages. I don't know if you guys remember when DSL first came out, there was people that hacked your emails and hacked your this and identity theft. Like these things unfortunately just exist in our world. I'm not saying it to like just brush over it, but it's unfortunate, right? It's like there's people that, you know, lose their money or like get robbed for hundreds of dollars going to that place. We're still using the US dollar, right? The government has been proven to lie to us about so many different things, but we still go and trust the government in many, many ways that this is right and that's right, right? So I think it's important. We've seen the stock market be manipulated, like literally, right? Like we've seen it happen. Have we made money off of it? Yeah, but we've also know that this is a major game that's designed for us not to necessarily just beat them at the game. We just got to kind of like play the waves, right? So I think it's important for us to know, like, yeah, there's a nasty side to all industries, right?
Years from now,
yeah,
your outlook on Bitcoin currency, you know.
7 years from now?
Yeah, what do you give me?
Compared to the US dollar, I would say, wow, I would say about 200,000 for one Bitcoin. Yeah.
And here's the female, she predicted that for next year, I think.
I know.
I saw her.
Yeah, I think it's going to be some waves. I think it's going to be some waves. Yeah. I'm being just a little bit more conservative, but I definitely above 200,000 within the next 7 years. Ethereum, which is right behind Bitcoin as the second largest market cap platform, is at 4,500 right now. I see them being like around 70,000, 80,000 around that time.
And if you can, taxes, because I know when I did my taxes this year, that popped up if I traded Bitcoin.
Right.
How's that work, man? If you know offhand, if you trade or buy, well, if you buy it, you don't have to pay tax till you trade or spend it, right?
Right. So right now they are still operating like a security or a stock in a sense. So you buy Bitcoin, and if you sell it within a year, you're going to be especially as a gain, you will have to pay the capital gains tax, right? That's where most people are. Like, why are you selling it? That's why more people are holding it, right? Like, you do hold it, and then, like, you can go and get a crypto, like, borrow against it, you know? If you need the cash, if you need the liquidity, borrow against it so you don't have to pay the taxes. You know, that's what more people are using to leverage their cryptocurrency wallets. So it's just about knowing it. Like you could literally store your money in Bitcoin and then get a loan against it, and now you have the cash. You know, so it's just something that we haven't been in the game to understand it. So yeah,
Brother Mashinda, you have any more comments?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, again, you know, very good. That's all I can say. But, you know, what's interesting to me, too, is like some of the other investments that are out there that's surrounding Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency, you know, what goes the infrastructure itself. You know, you take those the processor companies, NVIDIA, AMD, you know, what's, you know, that's on the back end, whatever. So I'm just saying it's pretty exciting, you know, from an investment standpoint, I think. But anyway, I'm, like I say, proud of you sharing it with the youngsters, and, you know, have a good evening. God bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Rashaki.
Keep up the excellent work, brother. I appreciate all that you do. Just keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Keep it rolling.
Well, you know, brother, I sent you my information. We'll get back to that later. I just want, Rasha Key, you want to say what's going on Wednesday?
Yeah, here we go. Got this going on right here, Ra.
Okay.
Brother Muko.
Brother Muko.
How you relate to time and space? Yeah.
All right. So we'll be on Wednesday. And, man, you know, you have a standing invitation.
Absolutely.
Deeply appreciate you. And sometimes just chime in and just listen and add your input about what's going on in the schools or, you know, whatever we be talking. We have some interesting guests. And I'll keep you informed of what's going on the Wednesday night. We're on twice a week, on Monday and Wednesday. And we're going to just grow. We're going to grow, just like crypto and
it is.
We're going to grow. And you're right, because Abakia just told me that you can get a Bitcoin at the credit union,
right?
At schools first. And not only that, when you go to the golf course, they don't even want cash; they want credit cards. You know. Because of COVID or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
But I think it's an excuse for them to go strictly credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
So that workers can't steal the money.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you can give them a tip, but you can't, the money for the people, they. Right. I always do want to thank Doc and Mashinda for chiming in there. They have such a wealth of knowledge and experience. I didn't know Doc was such heavy into the stock market. Got stock certificates. You understand? And then Mashinda, who worked with young people, and he has a wealth of knowledge and experience in just encouraging people to grow and evolutionize. But I'll let you go, because I know you got to be principal tomorrow.
Yep.
But tell us about your travels before we go. You know, you say you went to New York, you went to Florida, you say you was talking to people. What's going on?
Yeah, real quick before I leave. So I'm contracted in three of some of the largest districts in the nation. So I'm contracted in the DOE in New York. I work with 10 schools on helping their school cultures. And I keynote, so I'm actually go back to New York this weekend to meet with the CEO of Mocafi Bank, which will be talking about possibly funding my K-12 crypto ed tech company. So I meet with him for a meeting. We're going to go to dinner and talk about possibly getting funding, because he have initiatives across major U.S. cities to close the racial wealth gap. So we're going to be talking about hopefully my platform being a mechanism for helping him with his mission. And then I go back to meet with the mayor, the new mayor, Eric Adams, to talk about it as well. And then I go to Vegas, because I'm partnered with four schools out there in a Clark County school district to work with their schools. Then I go to Houston and then I'm back to Indiana. Indiana, I'll be speaking at an event, and then they allowed me to go to the national championship game. That'll be out there, the football national championship game. Yep.
What? Oh man! Yeah. All right. Well, hey, look. We want to thank everybody for chiming in. It was just a wealth of knowledge shared and understanding. And I hope that you be successful in implementing currency classes in public schools, and then especially at Pathways, where you're the principal. I know you're doing it already off the cuff, but I'm talking about what students can earn grades in it or whatever. So we look good. That's what the revolutionary educator is all about. That's bringing it. In new things to change the whole landscape of education for the Black community and for public schools. So I want to thank everybody for chiming in. Hope everybody's coming in on Wednesday. And thank Rasha Key for allowing me to be a part of this platform of Each One Teach One. Again, Asante Sanam, amen. And you know, I wanted to see Prince and Journey. You tell them I love them, and Danielle, and I'll get back to you. All right, everybody, we over and out.
All right.
Conscious Quorum.